Republic Yemeni number one.
It's not every time, Kazim. It's not every time. Fucking Kazim is trying to tell me how to run my podcast. You know what, Kazim? Let me ask you something. When was the last time you fucked? He just told me right now not to ask him that.
No. That's not what I meant.
And then it's like, how do you expect me? I can't respect you.
What I meant, sir.
Put your microphone down so we can see your face a little bit. There you go.
Can you see it?
That's perfect.
Okay, then I have to adjust this a little bit. That's fine. All right. Can you see my face?
I can kind of see your face. I'm getting it nice and
yeah, baby. Let's go.
Sharp. So
what I said was that I am more than my sex life, sir.
You don't have a sex life.
Every single time,
you're Muslim.
Every single time,
yeah.
I come to this podcast,
yeah.
It's like, when's the last time you fucked?
When's the last time you fucked? Cause
when's the last time you
look stressed out?
When's the last time you had a finger in your ass? Cause then you never experienced that. What are you talking about, Mike? Let's talk about Biden. Like, let's
you
talk.
Don't,
about
you don't put your own finger
anything.
In your butt?
No, I do not. Why is that? Is this my camera?
That's your camera, yeah. How do you clean your butt, bro?
I use toilet paper first.
Oh, gross.
And then I don't use wet wipes. I use a spray that you spray on toilet paper. I saw this video a long time ago that there's no such thing as real flushable wet wipes. It was like, remember that Adam?
Is this another like we're ruining turtles story?
Yes and no. But okay. we're like Adam ruins everything.
Yeah.
The only video I've ever seen of that
right.
is him explaining how there's no such thing as truly flushable wet wipes.
Do I sound better here? No, it
sounds better exactly. This way. It's okay. Only on this side.
So he said, what now?
There's no such thing as truly flushable wet wipes. Like, sanitation people have to dig them out of the thing. I'll send you the video later.
Oh, you care about sanitation
workers? I care about
that
to an extent, right? And also, the spray.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, it sounds so stupid. Sometimes I actually don't even like bidets that much. I have a bidet and I never use it.
I have a bidet. I need to start using it more. I've been forgetting to use it because I like really fingering like my butt.
Well, okay. Well, here we are. We've started.
You can continue talking about the wet wipes.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I like there are these things called like toilettes or something like that. And you spray the toilet paper. You have to use thick toilet paper. You can't just use no single ply Walmart brand toilet paper. You got to use at least double ply Kirkland style toilet paper. You spray it and then you can wipe. And it's a wet wipe. You turn your toilet paper into a wet wipe. And that's what I use.
Why is that necessary? Why is it necessary to make the toilet paper wet?
Because it's easier to clean a surface with a wet rag first. And then that's how you're supposed to clean it. That's how you usually clean the surface. Things stick to wet, like things will stick to a wet rag better than they stick to a dry rag. That's why sometimes when you want to clean your table with like dust on it, you don't just use a dry rag.
Yeah, use Pledge.
If you use Pledge, you wet it a little bit, then you wipe it.
Okay. This is a mistake talking about this.
This is a mistake.
It was a really big mistake talking about this, honestly. You should finish your cookie before it gets cold.
I didn't want to.
He's here late, and then he makes me warm up the cookie that I gave him.
No. You gave me a cookie, and I said, since you're over there making your yerba latte, right?
Yerba mate.
What is it called?
Yerba mate. Yerba mate.
What?
You don't know what it is?
I have no idea what it is.
So you declined something you didn't even know what it was.
Or
you thought it was a latte.
No, I thought it was coffee. You said it was coffee.
It's kind of like coffee. It's like caffeine, basically. It's yerba mate. It's like it's kind of like a tea, but it's got like a lot of caffeine in it, you know?
Okay. I'll check it out. Oh, okay. Is it
too late now, motherfucker?
Is it that yellow can with like brown? You know what we're talking about?
Kazim, you know what kills me about you?
What?
You're so African on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside, you're such a valley girl. Like, you're like a real confused. You have no idea. Like, it's so funny. It's like when I say, hey, yerba mate, and you're like, oh, you mean like the one that you see at 7-Eleven? It's all like yellow.
Is that it?
And it's like, that's like saying, that's like, hold on.
No, hold on.
That's like saying, have you ever had coffee? Oh, you mean like Frappuccino, Starbucks? That's what you just did.
And
right
you
now.
Would say, if you're a good person, you would say yes.
How does that make me?
It's kind of like that, except it's this. Instead of being like, Kazim, you're like African, but you're so white on the inside.
That's what I'm saying, though. But we got to. yeah.
That happened a lot. Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
A lot of Nigerians don't know I'm Nigerian until I tell them I'm Nigerian.
What do you think keeps them from knowing that you're Nigerian or not? Do you think it has everything to do with your not being smart?
No, not really. I did fail out of that. You have, first of all, we're going to talk about how you do those sound effects later because I need that. And then, second of all, yo, I've been looking for a sound effect machine for the past like 7 months.
7 months?
Bro, I've been looking for like 7 months.
Okay. 7 months?
I'm angry, but only because I'm so jealous right now.
Why are you jealous?
I want sound effects in real
life. You got money. Go buy yourself a sound effect.
I don't have money. I don't make money. I do all right. I survive.
Yeah, that's what people make money say.
I live in a very simple home. I just have a couch and a TV in my living room.
Yeah,
you've been there.
That's why you have
just
money.
The couch and it.
That's why I have money.
A lot of times, and I think that goes for Nigerians that grew up around me. We're very in Houston in the 90s. We can adapt to anything. So. I pride myself in being able to have a conversation with anybody, any race, any gender.
Yeah, you can have a conversation with people. That's just not mean that you're making good points.
Yeah, of course not. What are you talking about? I'm still ignorant, Mike. Come on now. That's over there. Me being ignorant is over there. Me being able to have a conversation with people, that's over here right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and a lot of times, I'm talking to a Nigerian, and I have to tell them I'm Nigerian. And then they're like, you're Nigerian? Really? Huh. And then they try to like slickly quiz me. It's like when someone says, do people know that you're from Yemen? That you're Yemeni?
No, because I'm always disguised as Dominican.
Exactly. But when a other Yemeni finds out you're Yemeni, do they try to test your Yemeni-ness? Does that make sense? That's my ignorant over there.
How do Nigerians test your Nigerian-ness?
They just ask. They just
math
ask
questions.
Like,
they give you math questions.
Yeah.
they like try to.
No.
Can you solve this engineering problem?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to solve it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to solve it.
And they'd be like, "You're from Ghana."
Yeah, exactly. Basically, if you're stupid, you're from Ghana, and your Jellyfish is trash. But that's neither here nor there. Do you have a DJ horns for shots fired?
What's that? Oh.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, I'm. Well, sometimes it's either I usually get one of two things. Mm. Either people think I'm too African, and that's like
there's no
black
way
people.
You're not too African.
And then a lot of
you don't even look like African.
Exactly.
What
a
I'm
lot
saying
of people
is
don't,
you
like,
look like
seem like I'm Nigerian.
And even the way you talk, it's like could you be from New York? Because you have this Nigerian accent that. I noticed some Nigerians have, which make me wonder if a lot of the ancestors of people that live in New York have traces of people from Nigeria or
probably.
What? Because, you know, all right, so you know how, like, I'm a firm believer, like, languages were created in regions and they were developed specifically because the people within those areas their mouths and their noses and the way their faces are shaped are a specific way where it would lend to that type of sound to be coming out of their mouth. So that way, like Middle Eastern people have more guttural like things depending on what regions they have and so on and so forth. You have a way of talking where you say certain words where it almost sounds like you're Method Man, like a New York cat. Like there's certain words that you say. The way you do the vowels,
yeah,
it sounds like you might be from New York.
I do my vowels incorrectly.
On purpose?
No, I just can't help it. The way I say words,
yeah,
is just sometimes I'll elongate an A for no reason, and I don't know why. That's just how I talk.
Were you born in Nigeria? No.
No, I was born in Houston.
Yeah.
My parents are from Nigeria.
Yeah.
I'm first generation. But also, I only went from until like most of like, okay, I went to public school. That was Monday through Friday. But Saturday, Sunday, and when school's not out, we're just hanging around Nigerians. Mm. Right? So I know how to carry myself in public situations. But the way I talk, like the way I talk to you,
yeah,
is different because we both grew up in that a Muslim household. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that you would understand that I can tell you.
Yeah.
Where it's like if I'm saying, no, I have to go home for Eid.
Right.
Right. And I can be like, oh, we're not killing the goat on Eid day. We're going to wait the day after.
Sure.
And you're like, okay, cool. That's sure. fine. And that's why.
I still won't know blah. That, by the way. But anyways, sure. I know what you mean.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah,
a familiarity
yeah.
of things.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the way I talk to black people, there's just I naturally will sync with another black person. I'm like, okay, we're on the same page already.
Sure.
I know I can talk to you.
It's kind of like when you're doing a stand-up in the States as opposed to doing them overseas.
Yes.
When you do them in the States, I don't have to do the setup.
No.
Sometimes I don't even have to set things up. I can just launch into the bit.
Yes.
And everyone's on the same page because we all kind of understand the points that you're already making. I don't have to explain how Best Buy works.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes.
I'm at Best Buy. Boom.
You don't have to explain self-checkout.
You know, I don't even have to say that the sign is blue and yellow. I don't have to say whatever. It's already there. You already know.
Yes.
Geek Squad. If I say Geek Squad, you know Best Buy.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about right there.
Like
if you end up going like to overseas and stuff, now I got to explain Best Buy.
So sometimes when I'm talking to Nigerians before they know I'm Nigerian, I'll do that little reference, a quick reference. Oh, it's just like this when you're doing this, like that. And they're like, oh, huh.
Yeah.
You know Nigerian stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitch, what do you think? What do you think I ate when I was growing up? You think I was just eating chicken nuggets? We couldn't afford that.
Chicken nuggets were actually probably cheaper.
Like McDonald's chicken nuggets. Like
those are
that.
Cheap, though.
Back in the day? Probably.
Maybe not back in the day. Relatively, I think now they're cheaper. Considering inflation, they figured out to make like a four-piece a dollar, I think, now or something.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
There's no way that's real chicken
nuggets. No. It's part Nigerian babies.
There's no way.
Man, I get that too with like with Yemenis, you know, with Arabs, they instantly try to talk Arabic, and then when I can't speak Arabic, mm-hmm. then it's a disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh no, you can't even speak the language, you know? Because I speak Indonesian.
Were you born here?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you get that where some people that were born over there, I get that sometimes where Nigerians that were born in Nigeria will be like, oh, you don't understand because you weren't born here. And I thought that there was like my fiance.
Sure.
She was born in Nigeria.
Oh, she's Nigerian?
Yeah. She came here when she was like 13 and she's just been here ever since.
Does she have an accent?
Kind of.
That's kind of cool.
Right? It'll come out in certain situations.
Because he's getting married,
y'all.
When
she's talking to me.
Congratulations, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to his wedding.
Well, he has no choice.
I do have a choice.
No, you don't. I'm bribing.
I'm not here. I'm here.
No, but I'm looking at the people. Stop looking at. What are you looking at?
I'm reading the thing that people are saying.
Oh, they're chiming in.
Really think it's okay to live like this? See a picture of TV on.
What are we talking? What are we?
They're all having a discussion, bro. They're all talking about how dumb you are.
Really?
No.
I did fail out the first. I failed out the first college.
Bolte says that. Do they ask you soccer questions?
No. Soccer's universal, sir. But that was, I'm not going to lie, solid joke.
That's a solid. That's
a solid joke.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a solid.
Like, you would just have to be like, yeah, you would have to know soccer, man.
Yeah.
Is it soccer or is it football? Oh, Jason said you invited him to his wedding. Okay, so since you pointed one of the people that are a thing,
I invited him.
Yeah, because you pointed at the camera.
Oh no, I didn't.
No, you guys are coming.
No, you're not invited.
Good job, guys.
Not
I'll see you
invited.
There.
Get married in Mexico.
Oh man.
Yeah, but it's
Yemenis be doing that shit to me too,
yeah.
man. Yeah, one thing that was really interesting was me finding out the type of Yemeni I was. Because at first I thought I was just Yemeni. My family never really like made me in touch with Yemen that much because they were born and raised in Indonesia. And, you know.
How many generations were Indonesian? How many? That sounds so weird to say. Let me rephrase that.
That's because he's stupid.
How many generations of your family were in Indonesia? Like, when did your family say, we're done with Yemen, we're doing Indonesia now?
Well, first and foremost, and I've said this on the podcast before, but it's a nice little history lesson.
Yes.
Yemenis have been residing in Asia predating Islam.
Okay.
Yemenis specifically from my village of Hadramut.
Okay.
Yemenis from Hadramut are the adventurers. Can you place that up? Be careful, it's kind of hot. I just don't want it to be...
I'm a boss.
There you go. Yeah, you a boss. So Yemenis from... Okay, this is how I found out. Okay, this is what trips me out.
Yes.
Is at first I thought I was just a regular Yemeni.
Okay.
Until I talked to this Yemeni guy who was at a gas station near the house that I lived.
Okay.
Right around the time of 9/11.
Okay.
And this guy was funny to me because before 9/11, he was just some fat Yemeni guy at a gas station. After 9/11, he's a fat Yemeni guy at a gas station with a different America shirt on every day.
Mm.
So now he's like virtue signaling that he's like, listen, American, you know, like
fear will change you.
Yeah. Well, not only that, especially if you're like not in, like if you're in a country where it's like you're the minority and then that minority is the one that's being paraded on TV as the enemy. You know, every gas station you went to, man, was just covered in American flags. I'm talking about covered. Like the best is like you used to go to the gas station where this Yemeni guy was and he would just be behind the bulletproof glass, right? Yeah. And it was just bulletproof glass in him. Yeah. Then when you came after 9/11, he had an America shirt on, but the bulletproof glass had so many paper American flags on it that he only left one little square.
For
so
him.
Before you could see the whole inside of his place, then all you could see, that's how many American flags that he pasted everywhere.
Hey, man.
But listen, that's the guy that made me realize. What,
was this in Dearborn?
Yeah.
But that, who's going to, someone have to go into, no one in, isn't Dearborn mostly Arab?
No.
Oh, damn.
No,
that sounded racist.
A good portion of it on the east side and the south end of it.
Oh, okay.
But the majority of it's predominantly white. And then the side of Dearborn that this was happening is nope. That's Hossam asking if I've ever been to Yemen before. No, this is why I'm explaining it. So, so anyways, I meet this guy, right?
Yes.
And then after 9/11 or whatever, he's, you know, we got to talking.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yo, you're Yemeni. And I was like, yeah. He goes, where from? They always want to know where.
Yeah.
North, south, Aden,
all the time.
Because
if you're an immigrant, if you're a child of an immigrant.
Yes.
Yeah, my parents are from this country.
Right.
What part of that country,
right,
though?
Well, not only that, especially in places like a place like Yemen that's very tribal.
So is Nigeria.
Very, yes, of course.
Me and my parents are different tribes.
Sure, you guys are supposed to be killing each other, probably.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
She should have died months ago.
Yes. Because they're weak.
Love you, baby.
Love you, baby. But y'all weak. but anyway, so my family's from Hadramut. And I told him that. And he just goes, you from Hadramut? He was like so surprised. And I was like, yeah. He goes, there's no Hadramis out here. Because you're probably the first Hadrami I've seen out here. And then I was like, okay, but I don't see what the big deal is. And he goes, man, he goes, you know nothing about your people, do you? And I was like, no. And he goes, do you have any idea that your people are highly educated? You guys are the business people of Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you guys have always been the business people of Yemen. And and he goes, you really should look into your history, bro. You should really look into it, man. He goes, your people are special because they're not just regular Yemenis. And I was just like, okay, whatever, you know, and I was too young to care.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to a...
How old were you in this scenario?
I think when this happened, I might have been like 28,
okay, yeah,
29.
You don't care.
Yeah, I really, and honestly, I'm a late bloomer, so it really took me a long time to care about shit like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to a film festival, and there was a Jordanian guy at a film festival, and we were all hanging out afterwards, and he started going around asking everybody where they're from, because turns out he's somebody who he loves tracing Arab lineage. It's like it's one of his hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting down with him, and then he goes to me, he goes, where are you from? And I told him, and he's like, what? He goes, you're Hadrami? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you're like the first Hadrami I've seen. I go, why does everyone say that shit? And he's like, he goes, okay. He goes, I'm going to make a prediction. I go, okay, what? He goes, the majority of your family are educated. Majority of them are business people. And the majority of them reside in Asia. And damn. I was like, who the fuck is this guy, bro? And then he goes, you don't even know anything about your history, do you? And I was like, no.
And then you're like, why is everyone telling me I don't know shit about my history?
Because I don't. Then when I did that, I did some research on the history. It turns out the Hadrami Yemenis, they come from the eastern part of Yemen, and it's a very terrible part to live in. Mm-hmm. Nothing grows there. It's like the hottest, most arid area.
Yeah.
And like, you trace any type of people out of any part of the planet, the people that came from harsher climates were always the ones that had ingenuity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they're wherever
they're smarter. They know how to survive.
They had to.
Yeah.
They either had to find ways to survive those harsh things, or they had to find ways to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And the Hadramis, after so long, figured out how to build ships and navigate themselves out of there. And they've been trading all along the Indian Ocean, predating Islam. Mm. A lot of them residing in Indonesia, the Philippines, Singapore, predating Islam, which is why historians think that that's the reason why Islam is the largest Muslim country in the world, is because when Islam started spreading in the Middle East.
Islam is the largest Muslim country in the world.
No, I mean, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. Okay, Did I say Islam? I mean,
yeah.
Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. And a lot of it is due to the fact that Yemenis have been there.
Wow.
Forever.
Wow.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So cut back to my family. My family, my mom's family was in Indonesia the longest. So it started with my great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So my great-grandfather and his two brothers left Yemen. They moved to Indonesia, and then they just started fucking everyone.
Mm.
Like, I'm talking, like, my great-grandfather had 6 wives and 40-some kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's Yemeni.
I'm not
right
gonna
there.
Lie, when you said, and they just started fucking everybody, I was like, okay, they had, like, you know, 2 wives,
no.
A couple kids.
6 wives. 40-some kids. That's one brother.
That's one guy.
And then there's two other ones.
40-something children? Yeah. There's no way you know all their names.
I know.
There's no way.
I know.
Impossible.
Bro.
I have to guess. Sometimes when I see people that I see every day at open mics, I have to be like,
I know.
What's
Fonto? What's your
name? Yeah, Fonto. Fonto is easy to remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of these, like, mics.
Oh, man. Like, these... Emily's?
Yeah, a lot of Emily's I don't know.
Fucking Emily's.
A lot of Emily's I don't know.
That's why I like the Marine Corps, man, where everybody went by their last name.
Yeah.
It was very easy.
Yeah.
Like my buddy right now from the Marine Corps who's watching right now.
Yes.
I don't know his first name. He's Bolty, you know?
Okay, dope. What's up, Bolty?
It's Douglas Bolty. But anyways, I'm just saying, like, it's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it.
Hossam, where from Yemen are you? Thank you for tuning in. I'm also broadcasting now on Facebook. I haven't been broadcasting on Facebook for a while because Restream was not allowing it to go to the pages anymore. Well, you can do it to your personal page.
Oh,
and then I was like, you know, I might as well put it on my personal page. I got more people following my personal page than my fan page anyway.
Yeah.
So,
welcome, personal page.
All right, so we are going to break away a little bit after we got done talking about how we are people of ethnic backgrounds. I'm completely confused
and
about it.
And we're cultured.
Not cultured at all.
I'm
bro.
Cultured.
You fucking...
I'm cultured. I know
are
a lot
you,
of things.
You... Yerba mate?
I don't know what yerba mate
you fucking
was.
Piece of
Where
shit.
Is that from? That from Brazil?
It's probably from Nigeria.
I'm just
fucking like...
I'm not going to lie. Watch it be from West Africa.
Okay, let's find out. Where is yerba... Hold on. Let's find out. Let's fucking find out, man. Where is yerba mate from? Spanish.
South America.
It's Portuguese.
South America, Atlantic rainforest.
South America. Ooh, you're lucky, bro.
Boom.
You're fucking
lucky. Yes, I said Brazil. It said
you're fucking
Paraguay,
lucky.
Argentina, and Brazil.
You're fucking lucky.
Yes.
If this shit was from Nigeria.
If it was from Nigeria.
This would be my new clip on the internet.
Yeah.
I would just spend the whole podcast.
I would have to secretly report your page for that clip.
You would?
That's how embarrassing that would be.
You see, you don't want to do that with Yemenis because we'll just kill you, bro. You can report me. You're fucking catch a knife, man. Are you talking? What are you talking about, bro? All right, so let's break it up a bit and let's talk about how we went from a black president to an orange president to a dead president.
Yes, he's not dead. He's not dead.
I don't think he's real. I think he's
exceptionally old.
I think he's a cyborg.
But that's the thing, though. His fuck ups, like from being old, kind of the same thing as like a lot of Trump fuck
ups.
He's
a fucking tyrant. And when I see people like you go, Bill? Hey, you know what? Bill. You know what? His fuck ups aren't like real fuck ups. You know what?
No. I'm not saying they're not real fuck ups.
Whenever I see people like stick up for politicians, I always picture like how people were sticking up for Hitler. Like, yeah, at least he's gassing them. That's not the same. You know how quick they're dying?
Oh my God, man. That's not the same. That's not even close.
It's like, hey, man, Obama's supposed to be your anti-war president, but he dropped more bombs than his predecessor. Yeah, but I mean, come on, man. At least he's black.
In defense of the truth, in fairness, it wasn't just he dropped bombs than like three of his predecessors combined. It wasn't. You're just saying, oh, he just dropped more bombs than Bush. He dropped more bombs than Bush, Clinton, and the other Bush.
Damn, that's really what it is?
Yeah, he dropped a lot
on our last podcast, our first podcast, I was listening to it the other day, I blew your mind with, you know, Obama has bomb in his name. And then I also blew your mind with the fact that he dropped 26,000 bombs in his outgoing year.
Yeah.
And then he dropped so much that he ran out of bombs.
Yeah.
And then they had to fucking make more bombs so that he can continue fucking living up to his name of Obama.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me
he dropped a lot of bombs.
He dropped so many bombs that he dropped more bombs than Bush, Clinton, and Bush.
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, he dropped more bombs than all of them. Like,
hey, lower the thing, man. We need to see your stupid face.
Sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. Good job. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
No, we can hear you. I just want to make sure that we're seeing you like we need to, you know.
What's up, baby?
What's up, bro? We got to see them pearly whites.
Off-white.
Damn, you blew my mind about that.
He dropped that's why it's like low key a lot of whenever he's getting roasted on like these roasts and stuff like that, they always mention, "Oh, you're bombing babies." Remember?
What roast?
That's what when Larry Wilmore was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He did a small joke about Obama bombing babies.
Damn.
Yeah. Like he hindsight, of course.
Why do you think he bombed so much?
I don't know.
Let's try to guess.
I think that we voted for him and we thought, oh, this guy's new. This guy is fresh. This guy is going to have a new way. But then we forgot that Obama is still very much a politician. Obama is still very much part of that establishment rigmarole. He just had a really good speech. And then they said, oh, we want him because he's new and fresh. Right? But he's still in the rigmarole of just, oh.
But he's the commander in chief. I'm pretty sure he could.
He's still a politician, bro.
No.
He still has to. Think of it this way. They had a super majority and we're going to go back and
forth. Stop covering your mouth.
Should I turn this up
so you can like really hear yourself? Is that better?
Talk. Oh no, I can hear myself.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I can hear myself now. Okay. I just want to make sure the people can hear me. So think of it this way. Obama won in 2008. Okay. 2009, he became president. In 2009, not only did they have a majority, they had what's called
a super majority. Yeah.
And then they asked them, hey, since you had, this was during a news conference, like one of his first news conferences.
Okay.
They asked him and said, hey, since you have a super majority, do you want to just like ratify Roe v. Wade and make it law?
Codify,
whatever it is. You know what I meant. Do you want to just make it law? And he said, no, I don't want to like split up the country. Bitch, you have a super, they're on your side. The country's already on your side.
Do you know why he did that?
Because he's still a politician, and okay, he still has to worry
that's not
about
an answer.
Yeah. No, because he was never he was the hope and change president, but he didn't really change anything. He did small incremental things, but did he like do the change that we like ridiculously wanted? We could have got Medicare for all, but we didn't. We could have got Medicare for all with the super majority. But for some reason, the polls said that we didn't want it. Think of it that way.
I don't look at it that way.
Oh, I just think he's...
To me, I look at it like this.
But why did he bomb then?
Bill Hicks had a bit. I almost want to pull it up, man. I almost want to pull it up. But I won't. It'll take me a second. But it's...
There was a comic from Houston, by the way.
Yes.
Named Andy Huggins.
Uh-huh. And Bill Hicks is from Houston.
Yeah, one of Bill Hicks' friends. One
oh,
of Bill
really?
Hicks is like good
What's
friend.
His name?
Andy Huggins.
Is
Look
he,
him
is
up.
Is he older guy?
He's really old. He just filmed his first comedy special at like 80-something.
Damn.
He's a beast, though. You watch Andy, you're like, okay, I need to write
Bill Hicks is one of the first comedians that influenced me. Because like he was very...
crazy?
How was he crazy?
I just wanted to say it.
Oh.
I just want to troll.
No, he was very eye-opening. He's the one that made me go, oh shit, you can use comedy to really teach people.
Yes.
And he was very political.
Yes.
And one of his bits that he had was, at the time that he did this bit, it was Clinton was running for president to take it away from Bush.
Yes.
And he goes, you know, people ask me, do you think there's any hope in Clinton? Do you think is there going to be any hope in Clinton? It's almost like, to be honest, it's almost the same as how we felt about Obama.
Yes.
It's almost repeating itself.
Yeah.
Right? And this is how Bill Hicks said it. This is how Bill Hicks said it. He goes, there's no hope in Clinton. He goes, this is how politics in America works. He goes, when you become president of the United States, that's the day that they usher you down to this smoky room and they sit you at a table with the 8 to 9 industrialist scumfucks that got you in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sit the new president down, a movie screen comes down and they dim the lights and a guy at the end of the table puffing a cigar goes, roll the film. And they show the new president the Kennedy assassination, but it's from an angle no one's ever seen before.
Wow.
And it seems that it's coming from the grassy knoll area. And then after it's done, the lights come on and the movie screen goes up and they go to the new president. Any questions? What's my agenda? We bomb Baghdad. You got it. That bit right there to me explains Obama. I really think that when you're president of the United States, that's when you realize you ain't president of shit.
That's what I just said.
They will give you some things to play with. They'll be like, this is our sandbox. And these toys you can't play with. Military industrial complex, we run that. The Federal Reserve, we run that. Not giving people health care, we run that shit.
People that wrote.
And then they go, and then they go, we'll let you squabble with abortion.
Yeah.
You play with the abortion ball. Here, play with that.
But they didn't do anything with the abortion ball.
But
that's the problem.
But here's the thing though. The abortion ball is the only ball these politicians really have power with. Now, hear me out on my philosophy on this, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
The reason why the Democrats didn't codify Roe v. Wade.
Not ratify, codify?
Codify. To make it, okay, to put it in code. The reason why they didn't codify Roe v. Wade is because it's their only real weapon that they have to rally votes, Kazeem. Don't you understand?
I agree.
Don't you understand that whether it is the impending danger of Roe v. Wade getting taken away or Roe v. Wade gets taken away, either or is good for a Democrat politician. Every politician needs something in their back pocket that gets them out of whatever trouble that they're in or can direct the people to be focused on something that is a never-ending battle. And Abortion is the toy that the elite let our politicians bat around. And our politicians know if this is the only toy that we can play with, then we need to make sure that the toy stays in the sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get rid of this toy. Because if we get rid of this toy, how am I going to get my Democrat cuck constituents to give me all their fucking money? Do you know?
Hold on.
Do you know how much? Hold on a second.
Not call them cucks.
They're cucks. Do you know how much money Nancy Pelosi right now is probably going to be getting, considering that Roe v. Wade is not here anymore? Now she has something to rally the troops. That's why all she did was get up there and give a stupid fucking read poetry.
She don't give a flying fuck. Yes, I agree.
I think it's high time for Americans to fucking start seeing that. I knew they were never going to codify Roe v. Wade. When they were playing that shit in the beginning, I even knew then, because I didn't vote for Obama. I'm like, they'll never do that because they need it.
You voted for John McCain?
No, I vote third party all the time, every time.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay,
all the time, fair. Every time.
That's fair. So you're the reason that Hillary lost, not the white women that voted for Trump.
Yes. Thank God, man. No woman should be running this country.
No, I didn't.
You heard it here first.
Edit that out of this.
No woman should ever be running this country. God damn it.
I disagree with everything that's come out of your mouth.
I don't think it's cool. I like the fact that men have been ruining the planet. We should be the ones ruining the planet, not women.
Hey, listen, man. Sometimes you broke it, you fix it.
No, right? Man. Hell no. No, I'm messing man. With you.
I don't know.
I want to continue liking my women. I already hate dudes for how they're fucking up the world right now.
I don't need to be hating women too now. I don't even have a response.
Because you're afraid of being canceled because you're a pussy.
I'm not afraid.
You're a Democrat.
I am a Democrat.
How are you proud to say you're a Democrat? That's gross.
I am a Democrat.
That's gross.
I'm a Democrat. I'll be fair.
Are you a Democrat or are you liberal?
I'm more liberal.
Okay, then why you call yourself a Democrat?
Then yeah, I'm more.
Why you lump yourself in with that political party that are not liberal? They're just like Trey Stewart said on my last podcast, and also other people have said this too. They're just Republican light.
Yeah, sometimes they're just Republican light.
They are Republican light.
Well, to your point, you have a point because
to your point, reason, you have a point.
The reason, if I'm going to use a couple examples,
okay.
People that were they were writing the bill for universal healthcare. The healthcare industry was in the room writing the bill.
Well, yeah, but listen.
Because they gave them so much money that it's like, well, we want to be in the room. Because they don't want to, because they still, yeah, have universal healthcare, be in your sandbox, right? But we still want to make our money, so yeah. you can't take away all of our power.
Listen, the Obamacare was just socialism for the insurance companies.
Basically.
It's basically what it was socialism for the insurance companies. It's basically the insurance companies are now proven they're going to be making even more money now because everyone has to be enrolled.
Yeah. Everyone has to have healthcare now.
Which is fucking stupid.
No, that's not stupid.
It is.
If you're going, I think it's stupid if you're going to require healthcare and not have a public option.
I think I'm becoming more and more of a conservative.
On healthcare?
On almost everything, man.
Everything?
Almost. Because the more I'm starting to really...
Wait, what do you mean? You mean on fiscal, economic?
Mostly on fiscal.
And okay.
Social, I mean, I don't even think I listen.
You're more liberal than me on social issues.
Hell yeah, bacon, pussy.
Bacon's not a social issue.
Bacon
is not a social issue.
It is if you're Muslim, bro. If you're Muslim,
bacon is not a social
if you're eating
issue.
It, you're really fucking up the social construct.
Okay, fair.
You know, you're fucking up. Ramadan. If you're like out eating bacon in these streets of Dearborn,
you're fucking up Ramadan if you're just eating during the daytime period. But I mean, that's just.
Both, yeah. So I fucking get two birds with one stone.
Did I tell you one time? It was an accident. This was not. I didn't mean to do this to you. It's like it was during Ramadan. We were at the improv for an open mic. Okay. I showed up and you pulled out this like, what is it? what's it called? Like a frozen bowl, acai bowl.
Yeah.
You pull that acai bowl.
Yeah.
And I gave you the dirtiest look and you started laughing like, Kazeem, everyone else is eating. But you shouldn't be eating, Mike. That's why I gave you a dirty look.
Well, other people were eating at the improv?
Yeah, everyone was eating outside.
So why are you giving me the dirty look?
Because you knew it was Ramadan. You're not supposed to be eating that shit.
Oh, yeah, it's Ramadan.
I couldn't. And we both started laughing. I was like, I sure did give you a side eye.
So what, man? Bullshit. So what? I don't believe in religion. So what?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Do what's best for you.
You know? I mean, I see a lot of bullshit.
I see a lot of bullshit. Disagree with you.
I see a lot of bullshit.
In what?
In a lot of things, and I don't want to be a part of it. You know what I mean? That's why I don't consider myself Democrat.
Do you see
anymore.
The bullshit in?
That's
the
why room? I don't vote yes. for Republican. Back. Hold on. Before you interrupted me, you were talking about the whole liberal. What's liberal? What's conservative? For me, I mean, for me, I'm very liberal when it comes to social things, which is, you know, basically, I just want everyone to do what they want to do socially, and I don't want the government in the way, right? But that's if you really look at it, that's conservative.
Yeah.
Right. The problem is that like liberals want to go, hey, get out of our way, government. But we're going to do that with more government. That's the thing that I don't like about Democrats.
But that's Republicans, too.
Listen, of course,
Roe v. Wade is more government.
Of course. But listen, man, Democrats and Republicans are the same. They're the same. And this is why I don't like religion. Religion forces people to really think in these boxes. And then I find people like you who are very like into their box of their religion are very easily strayed to follow the box of Democrat. If I was really Muslim, bro, like I used to be, man, I would be like, fuck no, I'm not going to be Democrat. I want the deaths of all these fucking people, this war machine that we have that basically... That's all these Democrats and Republicans do. They come in, they tell us they're not going to do war, and they just give us more war. The thing that I respect about Republicans is they come in and be like, we're going to give you more war. And then they give us more war. And I'm like, I respect that more than these fucking Democrats who are going to come in here and be like, we care about Yemen. And then they bomb the fuck out of it.
So what are you saying, though? Are you saying that someone who is religious should be Republican? Or you're saying that someone who's religious shouldn't just automatically think.
What I'm saying is people who are religious are the same as people who are very political. You guys are very the same, whereas like you guys like these structures and then you love the structure so much and you believe in these structures so much that it's very easy for people like you to believe in being a Democrat or actually still supporting it. And then when you really actually look at what it is to be a Democrat, you're a stormtrooper.
You are
a stormtrooper. The thing is, you think you're a rebel, but you're not. You're a stormtrooper. I respect Republicans more because they know they're stormtroopers.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
You think you're Luke Skywalker.
No, I don't.
No. But I'm talking about as a whole. I'm talking about as a whole, like being a Democrat, you know?
But a lot of Muslims aren't Democrats. Do you know? You're old enough. Remember who Tom DeLay was?
Kind of.
Republican leader of the House.
Yeah.
From Houston.
Yeah.
He spoke at my Sunday school.
Oh, no.
Exactly. When I was little, he spoke at my Sunday school.
And how was that?
They were all Republican. They were all Republican.
Well, listen, man. I think a lot. I don't think it has anything. Right? I think you're missing my point.
The point I'm making has nothing
to do with Democrat or Republican.
I know. You're saying the someone who considers themselves religious is nothing different than... The religious person is the same thing as the political fanatic.
Well, kind of, to the point where the point that I was really trying to make is someone who's already religious, you guys already have the wiring. You're already hardwired to follow. So it's like you're not going to question that much. I find a lot of people who are really into their religions are also really into whatever political movement that they're doing, and they can't see outside of that box. Just like people who are Muslim can't see it's stupid.
No, my heart. You son of a bitch. I don't know. See, this is why I don't like coming here sometimes. Where did that come from?
Okay. I just think religion is stupid.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying to an extent. I will say this. Could you also make the argument that Because I can make the argument that Islam, I can't speak for other religions. I can speak for my relationship with my religion.
Okay? You're a good Muslim, though.
Yeah, but that there's no, exactly. But I can make the argument there's no such thing as a good or bad Muslim because we aren't the people to be judging. That's like me saying you're a bad Muslim because you eat bacon. That's not my call to judge your religion because I'm human, right? So to your point, yes, there are some people who take their religion and don't have a full understanding. I think that's the problem you have when people don't have a full understanding, because you can also see people that saying, oh, Islam doesn't teach you to follow. Islam teaches you to lead, right? Islam teaches you to think.
If anything, multiple, Islam teaches you to use the religion for yourself.
Exactly. But your problem is where probably you've had instances or situations you've been in where people have used the religion to either judge or to either be blind to the nuance. Because there's nuance in Islam also.
Sure.
There's differences of opinion on things also, right?
And it's not perfect.
And it's not, wait, what do you mean it's not?
The religion's not perfect.
The people aren't perfect.
No, the book is not perfect.
The people aren't perfect.
The book is not perfect.
The people following the book aren't perfect.
The book is perfect?
I can make the argument the book is perfect.
So I can beat my wife.
There's no beating your wife in Islam.
Let's look it up.
Look it up. And then make sure you look up the
I've looked this up before.
Look up the sayings from the Prophet also.
Oh, see, forget the hadith.
You can't, exactly. You can't.
Here's the thing.
No.
Let me tell you something.
Okay, go ahead.
If the Bible, if the Quran was perfect, why would you need a Cliff Notes to fucking explain it?
That's it. I thought
you. Why would you need a Cliff Notes? That was written 100 years after the guy died.
No, it wasn't written.
Come on, man.
It was not written 100
years. None of it makes sense.
When are you saying 100 years after the guy died? What are you talking about, Mike? First of all, Mike, you're so determined right now. Can I just...
This was the part of the Quran that I read that made me completely end my relationship with
Islam. Hold on. Mike, hold on.
Yeah.
Mike, are you focusing right now on me?
I'm listening too.
You're listening.
But I'm trying to find this shit.
Hold on. When I say...
You want to fight, bro?
No, I'll lose. But that's not it. I can't win in your apartment. You know where all the weapons are.
I wish I had weapons, bro.
But you know what I mean.
I do have a sword on the wall.
What? Why is it that you dismiss the hadith? For those of you who don't know what hadith is, right? There's the Quran, right? And then there's the saying and the teachings of the Prophet of Islam, right?
Can I read you the thing?
You can make, the Quran tells you to pray, but the Hadith tells you how to pray, right? So you can't say, I want to follow this and never follow this.
You're done.
Right?
You're done.
Because the Quran, no.
If I'm not mistaken, the Hadith also has some racist shit towards Jews in there.
No, it doesn't.
I think so.
What are you talking? Find that, please.
Have you read the Hadith?
And don't just go to some regular... All of it? You know, there's like a, you know, there's a bunch of them, right? You can't read every single little thing.
All right, this is here the part of the Quran.
Read the whole thing.
Hold on. This was, and I had the Quran in my room when I read this, so I had it with me.
Okay.
When I first read this.
Okay.
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 It is.
I can't. I'm listening to you, and the way you're doing this is so hilariously. Like you're so like, no, Kazim. Listen, I'm about to read. I'm about to read something.
Whenever I bring anything up, dude, yes. I always have an open mind.
Yes.
I always will bring something like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I'm also always enthusiastically ready for someone to prove me
you
wrong.
Yes. And that's what I like about you. And I'm here to prove you wrong, bro.
It's not going to happen, bro, because you're not smart enough. We need to get somebody
smart enough. I'm not smart at all. I will get you a scholar. I can get you someone if you want to talk to someone.
Yeah, but see, if we get someone like
someone chill, though. Not someone that
I want
think-
a scholar who's like not Muslim. Because you know, then you're gonna get somebody who's like I remember this one time. You know what doesn't make sense?
How are you gonna talk engineering with someone that's not an engineer?
That's not the same.
How's that not the same?
You could still be no. What? No. See, you're not good at analogies, bro. No, no. This is a better analogy. This is.
I'm a doctor. No. I'm not talking.
This is a better analogy.
I'm a comic.
This is a better analogy.
What's a better analogy?
A better analogy is that engineering is a bigger umbrella. What you're trying to say is that like, oh, just because you don't know the engineering on Chrysler cars. See, now you got to get specific with that analogy.
Okay, that's fair.
Does that make sense?
That's fair.
That's more like it.
You want a BMW mechanic to fix a BMW, to talk BMWs with.
Right, but see, my point is that if you get someone who's going to like talk about, so like then you get a Chrysler guy who works at Chrysler to talk about the engineering in Chrysler.
Okay.
That motherfucker may have a fucking bias because he wants to keep his fucking job at Chrysler. But if I get an engineer who understands engineering as a whole,
okay,
can still peek into the thing and then break that down, I'd much rather have that. Here's the thing. One time I was telling somebody, you know, about something, about how the Federal Reserve was terrible. And this guy goes, I'll prove to you that the Federal Reserve is not terrible. And then he goes to his laptop and then he gives me federalreserve.gov. I was like, we're trying to talk about how the Federal Reserve is terrible. And you're telling me you're going to prove it by going to the fucking website for the Federal Reserve? That's like me going to the devil and going, hey, bro, are you evil? And the devil's like, no, man, I'm just misunderstood.
So I know that joke caught me off guard, but that was very good.
Hold on a second.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's
where are you right now?
I'm on Wikipedia.
You're on Wikipedia. Okay,
but that's fine. We can search it everywhere else.
What's the title of the Wikipedia article?
On Nisa 3:4. It's the 34th verse of the fourth chapter of the Quran.
Okay, so before hold on. So do you understand how to read the Quran? When I say, so in this sense, when I say you can't just take the one thing, if you take the one verse,
okay,
you have to at
then
least
let's break it down. If you know how, I would like
before.
Somebody to break it down. Because everyone I talk to,
exactly,
they all give me the same answer to try to be like, no, it's okay. And
what's
then
the same, what's who? Wait, who says it's okay?
Let's just fucking read this shit.
Yeah,
okay?
Read it. Read it.
All right. Here it is.
For the record, before you read this, I'm saying to the best, and this is just my understanding of my religion, you may not beat your wife. Go ahead.
Now, here under this is so many different people translating it. Okay, these are English translations. But I'm going to go to the one from Muhammad Tariq Usmani.
Time out. Hold on. I like how your Detroit just went away and your Yemeni just
Muhammad Tariq Usmani.
Your Yemeni just immediately just
you motherfucker, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you understand?
Listen, because
my wife,
I'm gonna read her. It for you, but Muhammad Tariq.
Yes, this is the motherfucker.
Okay, go
it's
ahead.
It's either him or Arthur John Arbery.
Let's go with Muhammad.
Or George Sale.
Nah, I'm good, fam. Okay. I'm not George.
Yeah.
What? George? Or, fuck out of here,
or,
dog.
Or how about Marmaduke Pickthall?
That's an all right name.
I don't know about that guy. He sounds like a racist.
I don't know, but yeah, he sounds like
he sounds like he lives in the swamps.
He sounds like he doesn't like certain black people.
Okay. The translation of the verse from Muhammad Taki Usmani.
Okay.
All right. Men are the caretakers of women, since Allah has made some of them excel the others. Okay. And because of the wealth they have spent.
What verse are we on?
Hold on. So the righteous women are obedient and guard the property and honor of their husbands in their absence with the protection given by Allah. As for women whom you fear rebellion, convince them and leave them apart in beds and beat them. Then, if they obey you, do not seek a way against them. Surely, Allah is the highest and the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Arthur Arbery said.
I like, yo, the Arab is gone now.
Men are the managers of the affairs of women for that God has preferred in bounty one of them over the of another, and for that they have expended of their property. Righteous women are therefore obedient, guarding the secret for God's guarding. And those you fear may be rebellious, admonish, banish them to their couches, and beat them. If they then obey you, look not for any way against them. God is all high. God is all great. It's pretty much all the same. Basically, the Muhammad one was the one closest to the Quran that I had. Basically, what this thing says is this.
Well, I don't know. Hold on. To correct your language, basically, your interpretation of what this thing says is, go ahead.
This is my interpretation.
Of what this thing
of
says.
Of when I read this, okay?
Yes.
It's basically saying, men, take care of your women.
Okay.
Women, take care of your men.
Okay.
But men...
you're a comedic guy. Stop with the comedic timing.
This is how I talk.
Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
But men are better.
That's what it says?
Yes. Hold on a second.
Okay.
And then it basically says, women, listen to your men, especially in the absence of their presence. Make sure you still keep your fucking ways about you. Don't be a little whore. Okay. Okay. And then hold on.
If you thought we were going to get canceled for the bacon shit, we're still getting canceled for this shit. Right
hold
now.
On. As for women. Okay. And then basically the other part is that for the women who do rebel you.
Okay.
You don't have sex with them.
Okay.
You punish them by not showing them any affection. That's why you cast them apart or leave them apart in the beds, as Muhammad's Tariq Usmani, and then the Arthur John Arbery was.
Okay.
Like a banner to the couches. Basically, don't sleep with them anymore. Show them that you're mad, okay, right? And then you tell them, and then if they don't listen, and then you beat them.
Okay.
And the ones who listen to you are the ones that are, you know, and then that's it.
Good people.
So basically, it's literally telling you, hey, women, act right. Hey, men, act right. Hey, women, if you don't act right, your man's going to hit you.
Okay. That's your interpretation. Now.
Not only is it my interpretation, it's okay. Also what I see a lot.
That's culture. That's not the religion.
That's also another thing I see.
Exactly.
And people that's in these cultures use that to be able to get away with hitting their women.
They use that incorrectly. So... And this is this to the best of my knowledge. And we can look this up later. I don't know where to find this. I will find this later in my phone. This is why we have to have bullet points of what we're going to talk about.
But I mean,
hold on.
Okay.
When that verse came out, okay, the people around in that time were like, what does he mean beat? Right? What does beat mean? Okay? And they went to the prophet and they said, "Hey, we heard this verse, right? Because they look at him and I'll give you like small descriptions of who we're talking
and
about."
And he's like, "I couldn't rhyme it with anything else, man. I just had to
well,
use..."
Well, that section doesn't rhyme. The end sections are the ones that rhyme. The simple surahs are the ones that rhyme. That's why they're easier. That's why the Quran's perfect. Whatever that, neither here nor there. Anyway, so because when they look at the prophet and how he conducted himself. This is a guy who never like interrupted people when they were talking. Like he waited till they finished. So like
unlike
this
you.
Guy, I do it all the time. I don't give a fuck. I'm not perfect. I'm not a prophet. okay, but then so they look at this guy and like, yo, this guy's character doesn't match what we're saying, what we're hearing. So they went to him like, yo. What's up? I'm totally paraphrasing. And then they were like, what does beat mean? Right? So he like took, I don't have a pen on me.
I think I remember hearing this and it's supposed to be lightly.
Yeah. No. What is it supposed to be? So give me your vape.
No, man.
Take your vape.
Pretend. Do object work.
Take it. Assuming this is a pen.
Yeah.
Right? He took a chewing stick. I don't know what you guys call chewing sticks.
I've heard this story before.
Y'all, what do y'all call chewing
toothpicks?
Sticks?
Toothpicks?
Not chewing. No, the big sticks. Do y'all do that?
No.
Nigerians
that?
Do that. It's like a chewing stick. It's like you use it for, it's not an actual piece of wood. It's a specific type of wood.
Okay, anyways. Right?
And he takes his hand and he's like, that's what it means. That's what it means. That's not anything.
Dude, this is so stupid.
No. It's not supposed to.
I've heard this story before. Hold on.
When you say you
it's
heard.
It's so illogical.
Hold on, Mike. When you say you've heard this story before, do you not, is it that you just don't believe it?
Kazim?
Yes.
Everyone's full of shit. What makes you think the Prophet Muhammad was not?
Because even the people.
Everyone's trying to sell you something.
No. Because even the people that weren't Muslim that wrote about him said he had perfect character.
Yeah, probably because they would have got killed.
No, we're talking about people now that write about him. We'll say, you think they're going to. What are you talking about? People that didn't like him still said he had good character.
How would you know?
Hold on.
How would anyone know?
Hold on. So what are you saying, though?
How would you know someone's character?
Hold on. Because when you know my character, Mike.
Yeah, but we have video.
God damn it.
And we have audio.
The people of that time.
We don't have enough data of that time.
Yes, you do. People write. Okay. What are you talking? They have people.
But people also favor.
No. People, not necessarily.
People pay favoritism. You can see it in this country.
I get what you're saying.
Our president's dead.
Okay.
Everyone thinks he's not.
Okay, Mike, let's go back to what I said. Do you think the story didn't happen, or do you think the story is BS?
I think the story both didn't happen and it's BS.
So why do you think it didn't happen? Are you saying that it didn't happen because you didn't read it somewhere?
Because a lot of people who love their religions.
Okay.
Or even love their political parties.
Okay.
I used to be one of these people. We will say anything just to protect it.
No, that's not a, what you're
there's
saying.
There's a lot
it,
of that.
You're saying it. So you think I'm trying to protect Islam?
No, I think that story was created at a time when someone goes, hey, man, what the fuck's up with this? No.
Hold on.
Let me tell you the story. This is what he really means. Okay, first off, let's break that down.
Break it down.
How much is this going to affect someone's thinking?
Exactly. So not only is
it bullshit, it's stupid. That story made that even dumber.
No, exactly. Because you're not thinking about what it's supposed to mean. You're just supposed to show the person that you really don't like what they're doing. You're not supposed to beat them. You're not supposed to literally punch someone
in the
face.
Okay, let me ask you something. Then why is that verse there to begin with? Why is it even there to beat her? Why would it even be there for the interpretation of any man to be able to take it to the level that they want to take it to?
But sometimes, no. Because the explanation has always been there. Just because people don't want to listen to the explanation, they want to interpret it the way they want to.
Hold on.
But you can also make the argument. Even without, let's say that verse was right there. Let's say the verse means beat. Let's say hypothetically. It doesn't. Let's say hypothetically. In Islam, we have the Quran and we have the example set by this guy. Never beat his wife. Never raised his voice to his wife. Clean the house. He would cook. He would sew his own clothes sometimes.
Who's this?
The Prophet.
Okay.
If we're just using that, it was supposed to say, hey, this is the example you're supposed to live by. He never did any of the things that you're saying you see Muslims doing.
But how do you know this?
Because people, how do we know about Julius Caesar? People write about him.
Exactly, but how do we know what's written is real?
Because enough people will write, and if everyone's writing the same things, even the people that don't like him are writing the same things, I think we can make a decent interpretation.
Is that how we came to the conclusion that Muhammad was
never beat his wife?
Or whatever, like you're talking about this meek person. But then here's this verse about you should beat your wife.
She
doesn't listen to you. When somebody tries to be like, hey, that seems like saying that it's okay to hit women, then someone tells a story about how Prophet Muhammad's like, No. I meant like this.
No, exactly.
Just, you touch her like really lightly.
But then
it doesn't make sense.
Hold on.
And to answer Amir Saad, no, I'm not against Islam. I'm just against, you know, things that don't make sense, and religion doesn't make sense to me. It just never does. Every time I read the Bible, the Talmud, the Quran, every time, yes, I just have more questions than answers. And then,
I understand that.
And I like to break it down.
Fair. Mike, it's perfectly fine to be asking these questions.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone think that you're wrong.
I'm
going to
tell you this.
Questions.
No, I'm never. Yes. But here's the thing, though.
Even though you're wrong right now, but you're not wrong for answering.
Of course, I'm wrong to you because you believe in the religion.
No.
You have to believe in the religion.
No, hold on. I don't have to do anything.
Sure, but you do.
I do because it's my choice.
Sure.
We still have freedom of choice.
Sure, we have freedom of choice, but that doesn't mean that it's neither logical or illogical.
But when you're saying that you hear that, you see this, you read that verse, and someone says, this is what it means. Where's the disconnect from me saying, that's like me saying, I do a joke and you're like, I don't get the joke. And I'm saying, this is what it means. This is what the joke means. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me, nah, that's not what it means. That's stupid. Where's the disconnect though? Is it that because you see so many people not following what I'm saying, what it means, or is it that it just doesn't make sense that is what it means? If the verse says that, why didn't you just say why didn't you just use a different word? Right? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, to me, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is
I was way off.
What I'm saying is that this clearly says to put your wife in her place if she doesn't listen to you.
Hold on.
But that's what it does.
But no, hold on. But you can also make the argument, yo, you can put your wife in her place by just saying, yo, chill the fuck out.
But that's not what it says here.
They're literally
telling you to hit her.
But what does it mean?
And
hit
beat them.
But what does it mean?
Okay, but first off,
what does the word mean?
That's where I lose it. That's where I lose it. Because to me it's like things need to be updated. Things need to be clarified. And nothing is clarified. Anytime I talk to someone, it's always, beat her lightly, beat her lightly. You hit her lightly. You know what it sounds like to me?
Yes.
It sounds like to me what God is really saying is you got a freak on your hands and you guys should be doing BDSM. I think that's what he's saying.
No.
I think he's saying she's a freak. She's got a lot of sexual energy.
Why did this
That's how
go,
I take it.
Why
got
did
a lot
this
of sexual,
go left suddenly?
Because
why
this
is this always with you?
Because this is more positive.
No, it's not.
This is more positive.
Why do you, but that's
This
not,
is more positive.
But that's not it.
If you had a wife that wasn't listening to you and you realize, oh, baby, you got some kinks.
Okay.
And we're going to explore some of these kinks in the bedroom with a little hitting and slapping, and you're a bad girl.
But that's not what it says.
And hold on.
Okay.
If it did say that, that would be way more godly to me, because that's beautiful. That's like connect with your wife. Connect with her sexually. She got a lot of kinks, man. That's why she's not listening to you. You need to show some aggression. She might be a girl that likes some aggression. Some girls really like aggression. They like their man to be aggressive. So then you hit her lightly in the bedroom, and that's going to get her to be playful, and then she's going to be fun.
Okay.
That would be more beautiful to me.
Okay.
Not, if they persist, don't share their beds, meaning don't have sex with them. And if they persist again, hit them.
Wait, again, when I'm telling you this is what it means, why don't you believe me?
It's not that I don't believe you. It makes less sense than what that says.
What do you mean? Then what? Then if the word to, and this
Let
is just
to
the best of my knowledge of
if,
how Arabic works.
If,
okay, go ahead.
If hitting someone lightly, nobody in history has ever gotten anything done with that other than sex play.
So what? Okay.
Flogging. You know what flogging
it's
is?
Even, it's
Do you know what flogging
even,
is?
I know what flogging is.
Flogging, yeah. It's really weird. I don't get it. But they like get like these little whips.
Yes.
And like you don't even hit the girl that hard with it. She just likes to have the thing hitting her and it just turns her on.
Yes.
I think that's what this is.
Mike.
That's the more positive route.
I get
not what, be mad at her
I
and hit
understand
her.
What you're saying,
even though it's lightly.
But if everyone's saying that's what it means, if everyone's saying it means this, everyone you've asked have said no, it means this. I'm assuming
it's like you don't know what indoctrination means.
No.
Everyone's saying
no.
That because they're indoctrinated.
Yes. Everyone
in religion, yeah.
Every single, even the people that aren't even like that religious.
In certain
saying,
parts of them, yes.
You're saying it's all the same. That one, no one's ever said it means, Everyone I spoke to said
lightly. Yeah, but it lightly. No, but he meant lightly. No, it's lightly. No.
But then why?
That's what they always say.
But then why are they saying that?
Because they were taught to say that.
Why were they? What do you mean they were taught?
Anybody who tells me that doesn't really know why.
But you mean
they just know that that's what you're said. That's what you're supposed to say.
But you're telling me. But even okay, let's do the argument. Everyone is saying it doesn't mean it. You can hit your wife. That you can't hit your wife in Islam. That's what it. That's what everyone's telling you. That's what it means. Or is everyone telling you, oh no, it means lightly, but means you know, lightly. If she really messes up, then all of a sudden,
everyone's
saying you cannot. So everyone has told you, you can't beat your wife.
Everyone's that Islam told me is telling you, you can't lightly, beat your wife. Lightly, lightly. Because no. I know good people, you know, no, of course they're going to be like, no, no, you don't then hit you your can, wife.
Then could you make the argument?
My dad never hit my mom.
Then could you make the argument that people that take Islam seriously to an extent, right, or people that have an understanding of Islam, even the slightest bit of an understanding, knows that you can't beat your wife in Islam. And the ones that do think that you can't beat your wife in Islam, those are the people that are wrong. Could you make that argument?
Of course.
Then why? Then where did BDSM come from?
Because that's way better explanation than what I'm seeing on here. Just because a bunch of people are saying that in a hadith it says that he says lightly,
yeah,
that. That doesn't.
But why don't you like the hadith?
Do you know
why
how the hadith was like, written?
Yes, I understand how hadith
how
is
it written.
This person said to this person that the prophet said this. But listen, that's how that's how people passed information along back then. There were no telephones. They wrote it down. And that's how you keep a. Hold on. That's how you keep a proper lineage of. Of who is saying
who
what?
Who wrote the Quran?
Hold on. What do you mean who wrote the Quran?
Who wrote the Quran?
In Islam, the Quran was written by God. Yes.
Okay. Now we have a bigger problem.
Okay.
Now I have a bigger problem.
Then God needs an editor. No, he doesn't.
Man.
We're still going to get bombed tomorrow. there's some yummy.
You can't ask this questions, bro.
You can ask all the questions you want to ask. Can you? So let's start from the.
This
so
is one of the reasons why I lost my religion is because it doesn't make sense.
Oh, no.
Nothing makes sense in religion.
Can we break it down first?
All of them.
We have to break it down. We have to start from
Christianity's the goofiest. Christianity's the goofiest because it's 600 years before Islam. So they had even more caveman mindset.
Okay. So can we? Okay.
Like you open up the Bible and it's just like Abraham had 80 slaves. Look how rich he was.
Questions for you, Mike. Okay.
He's rich with slaves.
I'm not laughing at that. I don't want no Christian. I don't want no random white Baptist coming.
Religion doesn't make sense.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning.
You know what I think religion is?
Yeah.
Religion is the remnants of what we used to know before we suffered a cataclysmic event and lost all of our information. I believe that back in the day, we were way smarter than we are now. We probably had technology to the point of another level. Neanderthals had a bigger brains than we did. They were probably creating things that far surpassed technology that we have now.
Okay.
That we probably were actually in contact with some aliens, or maybe aliens did come over here and, like some people said, reverse engineered primates to create us. Okay. And I really do believe that humans back in the day had way more information. Look at the pyramids. Look at all of these miraculous things that were created by humans that today baffle people because we just couldn't understand what type of engineering feats they would have to make this stuff happen.
Yes.
I believe we knew way more. Big, huge cataclysmic event, whether it was an asteroid, that big volcano that blew up and blew up like a quarter of the planet.
Yes.
Wiped out the vast majority of people on the planet. And I think what religion is the people that survived and trying to piece together what they kind of remember from society. That's kind of like us now having all this technology, all of this information, and a solar flare wipes every hard drive clean, okay? And then even worse, some cataclysmic event happens, and now only a quarter of the humans are left. And after so much time of us coming out of our caves to try to figure out how to survive again, now we got to figure out how to make email. or make a fucking internet or a car or a plane.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? So my point is that, like, to me, that's what I see. That's what I think religion is. I think religion is people's feeble attempt to try to piece together what we used to
know. An understanding of the world.
Of what we used to know.
Of what we used to know. Of what we used to
I think that's
be
why
like.
All the stories all kind of have the same through line, even before Judaism. If you look at the pagan religions, they all kind of had the same kind of story. It's the same story being retold over and over again. It's just that the Prophet Muhammad is probably the only one that was like, yo, man, the other books make sense too.
Because they're all part of the Abrahamic faith.
I know, but I mean, but even you go so, before Abraham.
So let's start from the baseline. Okay. Is there a belief for you? Do you believe in God? Period.
I don't know.
Exactly. So
to me, I do pray to a God.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also think myself in thinking that probably a lot of that is just some type of programming that was indoctrinated in me. That's okay. Comforting.
Okay.
Because it's already been given to me as a young kid that this is what you do to make yourself feel better. This is what you do to, pray intentions for good things to people.
Yes.
But I think that the act of praying is beautiful. Okay. I think that if you want to call it spirituality or whatever, at the same time, I also think religion still serves a purpose in many people's lives. I think there are a lot of people that are already very good people, and then they use the structure of their religions to help concentrate that goodness. I think there's some people that use their religion to actually have a very serene life because it's almost like a guidebook. Like I see a lot of even like Muslims who they're very good Muslims. They mm-hmm. love the religion. They're very good people too.
Yeah.
So the religion helps imbue more of that goodness that they have.
Yeah.
And give them a structure to do good. And then also when they have a family, they use that
to beat their
family
wives.
Structure. No, they use that family structure to better their family,
yes.
to better their structure, to also better their community. And then like, you know, religion also has these ceremonies and things every year that bring community together, which yes. is something that's very important. And, yes. You know, I think that the structures of religion are just definitely positive in humanity's pursuit for continuing to collaborate. I yes. think human beings used to not be collaborative. We used to be warlike and we used to kill each other. And like religion was one of those structures that kind of got us to go, hey man, it's not cool to go to the next village and just kill them because it's funny.
Yeah.
That's not cool. You got to be nice to those people. Let's try to collaborate. Maybe yeah. we can reach out to those people. Maybe yeah. they can help us and I can help them. And then we can stop killing each other.
Yeah.
Right. All those things are beautiful. But whether you're trying to tell me whether that thing is actually tied to an energy that's watching us, I doubt it.
Mm.
But I do believe there is an energy. There's an unspoken energy that we can't explain.
But you don't want to call the energy God?
I believe like we are God.
Oh, okay.
Like we are. And even this is believe, this is just how my feelings are, and especially like when you start thinking about science and energy, we're energy.
Yeah.
God is energy.
But even in science.
Even in the Big Bang, if you think about the Big Bang is probably the beginning of God's energy or maybe one of the little sparks that happened from him, it. So this energy that's this entire universe, I think, yeah. is God. The whole randomness of this energy, this the scope of it is so discombobulating, and I think it's feeble of us to try to put all of that into a book.
I get what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. So there's so much. God, we gotta come back tomorrow.
I wasn't even thinking about going this deep into fucking
but,
shit.
So from what you're saying, it's you believe that there's something. You don't want to put that thing in a box. Of just calling it God.
I think it's dangerous.
Because you feel like me saying that there is a God is limiting my understanding of what's going on.
I don't think it necessarily is limiting you, but yeah. I think it limits people. Yeah.
It limits people.
I think it limits people. It takes this this amazingness of the universe and then trying to put it into a human form almost.
But we never, well, and I can, again, I can only speak from my understanding.
Even though Islam says don't do that.
Exactly.
That's one thing I love about it.
For Islam, we don't limit God.
Yes.
We just say God is almighty, yes, all powerful.
Yes.
The before, the sure, during, the after. Yes.
It makes sense because it's 600 years after Christianity. So it's like,
why do you keep shitting on Christians so much?
I'm not shitting on them. I'm just pointing it out. That's not shitting on Christians.
No, that's just funny because you're like, and Christians, I mean, they're like Neanderthals.
Compared to Islam.
Stop. Don't look at the camera and try to justify your looks.
I'm not trying to be mean. You know one thing? This is the thing. I can't stand when people go, oh, you're shitting on Christians. I'm not shitting.
Oh,
this
no.
Is
just, of course
this is
not.
Just, this is just a stating a fact.
It's just an understanding.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just an understanding. Be like, yo, the Islam came 600 years or so after Christianity. That's 600 years of human maturing. For 600 years, we had a better, larger scope of everything, I think, within that time. I think we were, you know, starting to really become more human as opposed to 600 before that.
And you could
so that's why I think it would be very easy for people at that time to be like, yo, no, this one God is bigger than a statue. It's bigger than a person. It's don't even try to like look at it like a human being. It's something we can't even fathom.
But the story of Abraham in Islam, which Abraham was before Islam, Abraham was before Christianity.
Yeah, he was like the first Jew.
The first Jew, yes. That story.
He was like the first. That story.
That story. And I'm again. I can only speak for what Islam says the story is. That story is saying that that's what you're saying is that what Abraham said. That God is more than just this statue. It's not this thing. It's not this thing. God is just this omnipotent being, right? So could you make the argument that the religions of those times were good for those times? And then as people evolved, then a religion came to guide them and so on and so forth. And the way Islam puts it, Islam was the last one to guide the world. Before, it's not like Christianity wasn't needed. It's that Christianity was needed for those 600, and then boom. By the way, since we're all evolved, since we got these down, we got you another prophet for you. No? Okay.
Because we're due for another one, if that's the case.
Why
can't we have another prophet in the day of internet?
I can only speak for myself and my understanding of how Islam works. We're done with the prophets, bro.
See?
Kazim, there you go again with this religion bullshit. No.
See?
I get what you're trying to say. I feel like you feel that you saying that you are a part of a religion or saying is like limiting is too in the box. And you, if anything, you don't like being put in a box.
No, I don't like people putting themselves in a box and not being able to think more openly about things. I cannot stand seeing in my liberal friends being so stupid when it comes to guns. I can't stand my conservative friends being so stupid when it comes to abortion.
Yes.
I can't stand how easy it is for these people to follow into these claptraps of their little echo chambers.
Yeah.
And then all they can do is just reverberate the same talking points that they've been saying to each other nonstop, just like religion. You see that with religion so much. I'm not saying that there aren't any open-minded religious people. I'm talking about the whole. If you look at the whole, the majority of people that follow anything, whether it's Democrats or Islam or Republicans or whatever, all they want to do is be accepted.
But
number one,
but you're talking about human nature.
Yeah, but see,
every human wants to be accepted.
So if God created, if God wrote down the Quran, I would think if it was written by God, it wouldn't have so many human attributes.
What do you mean? Well, God didn't write it for God. God wrote it for us. So what do you mean human attributes?
Well, if God created us,
okay,
and He knows how flawed we are,
okay,
you would think that He would write a better manual. Then something that makes us then something for them for people to go, no, that means I could fucking punch my wife in the face.
But everyone's been telling you that's not what it means.
That doesn't matter.
But you can read any verse and interpret it incorrectly. That's why you need the hadith.
Oh, no.
Also,
no.
Mike, you can't just do the Quran by itself.
No.
You can't do the Quran by itself.
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. A lot of people don't know this, but the hadith was written by... So it was written about 100 years after the Prophet Muhammad
died. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
You're saying, when I say the hadith, what do you think I mean?
The book, the hadith.
There's not one book.
Okay, then tell me.
There's multiple. The hadith is just what the Prophet said, right? So as the Prophet was going around and preaching, people would write down and people would relay what he's been saying.
Okay. You mean to tell me.
And then.
You think every single one of those human beings were pure in their actions and writing what they wrote? You don't think that any of these human beings that go, oh, I think he said this, I think that not one of those people were just like, fuck women.
No.
Hey, you know what, man? I'm going to put something in here that makes men like,
Exactly. But that's why.
And they're probably all men anyway that wrote it.
Yes. And no. Hold on.
There
actually,
you go. I mean.
No, that's actually not true. A lot of hadith were a good amount of like what the Prophet did in his personal life was written by women.
Okay.
Yeah, they're relayed by women. I mean, I meant that you're saying that I was just saying okay, as in like I hear what you're saying, right? A lot of hadith were written by women. Okay. So that's why when I said the hadith is written by this person, said that this person said that this person said that the Prophet said that, you can use as a chronological thing, right? And then also, some hadith are the same thing. Like if you said, you know, I like Detroit, right? You'll see a hadith that says, you'll see one hadith that'll be like, Kazim said, Mike says, I'm from Detroit. And then you'll see another hadith that says, Rob said that Kazim said that Mike said, I'm from Detroit. So the hadith will be there, and there you can see there's a difference, if there's a difference or not. Does that make sense? No, not to you. Not to you at all, right? And then you can also judge by, hold on. It wasn't that. It wasn't. We're talking about that. We're talking about back then.
Not a good argument.
How they were. Okay, listen, again.
The hadith is just from the beginning.
We already said I don't know how to talk well. So that's already you're saying this is not a good argument. I never said I knew how to explain shit.
Yeah.
Right? But do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yes.
But I understand that.
Yes.
But I also understand human beings, and we're all full of shit.
Yeah,
and
I'm not speaking for humans.
And now we have way more data to show us that people don't listen to. People only want to say whatever they want to say that will benefit their cause. They'll even go as far as to lie. They'll even go as far on TV. Somebody will prove them wrong, and then they will even negate that ever just happened right in front of them.
Yeah.
And they will stay convinced. Like Trump. You see how Trump is,
it's crazy.
Right? Okay, he's crazy. But you know what, though? How many people follow him? Okay, my point is that you're trying to tell me that here's a guy who wrote the Quran, written by God through him,
okay?
God wrote it, all perfect being, created the universe, created us, had the Quran written through this guy, okay?
Yes.
And then it was...
Can we not just say it the way... Just written by, you know, some dude. He's not some dude. He's not just some dude that you just see at Starbucks. Nah, bro. He was someone that was like an example, a good person.
Whether he's a good person or not.
He was some dude.
He was a person.
Okay, he was a person.
Even he went out of his way in creating the religion to be like, don't paint pictures of me.
Yeah.
I'm just a person.
But exactly.
I don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Everything is God, the universe, and being good, right?
Yes.
He's like, don't even look at me. Don't even pay attention to me. I'm just a vessel to get this information out.
Yes.
So if God wrote the Quran,
mm-hmm.
it should be so perfect we would not need people
mm-hmm.
to write down what Muhammad said. Oh, this person said, okay, sure, that's what he meant.
But then back up though. But what is the Quran for, you think? Because in the Quran there's not a lot of, only like, I can, and I might be wrong, I'm sure you have some fanatic followers that will correct me.
Fanatic powers?
Followers.
followers.
I don't know how to speak.
Oh.
But only like 4-5% of the Quran is like, this is allowed, this is not allowed. Everything else is just stories. There's so many just stories on stories to build reflection, stories to reflect upon, stories to learn about. And then you have the example of how to live your life through the hadith and the sunnah, which is what he did and how he acted.
Sounds to me.
It sounds to you what?
That the Prophet Muhammad.
Peace and blessings be upon him. Go ahead.
Gave us the Quran.
Okay. Where is this going? Go ahead.
And that's where it ends.
No, it's but why don't you?
You already told me.
Okay.
That human beings are flawed.
Yes.
Okay. Why then, if this book that came from God?
Okay.
Are you going to go, God, that book wasn't good enough?
I didn't say that.
We need to write another one.
No, it's not. Exactly. You keep saying the hadith is like one singular book that just says hadith.
Even worse.
It's not.
You are so wrong, God. We need to write a bunch of things to figure out this shit.
No.
Do you see where I'm getting at?
I understand.
Because I know there's Muslims out there that are like, Quran is Quran. That's it. And they don't do hadith.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
I respect that.
Why do you respect that?
Because if you believe that the Quran was written by God.
Okay, but the Quran tells you to...
You don't need a bunch of these other scriptures written by people.
Yeah, the Quran tells you to fast.
That from what I hear is tainted with a bunch of fucking fucked up shit.
Who told you that? What's what you hear?
I've heard from other Muslims and I've done some reading, but I didn't really do that much. So when it comes to the hadith,
I get what you're saying.
I put most of my efforts on focusing on the Quran.
On the Quran. And that's fair. I'm asking you, read some hadith also. I'm not saying you have to dive right in head first. I'm saying read some of it. Right? So you can understand where I'm coming from.
I understand. Right?
Think of it this way.
But already the way the thing was created.
What thing?
Hadith, the way it was created.
Okay.
It was created by hearsay.
No.
And from what I was hearing, some of these hadiths were written years after he died and years after the people who were alive around the time. So I hear some of these hadiths are like written generations later. So it's literally my father who knew the Prophet Muhammad said the Muhammad said this.
No. Some of it was, a lot of it was written during that time because they had to relay what's going on.
The hadith, from what I understand, was written.
It's not just one book.
100 years ago.
There's multiple books of a hadith, right? You think it was just written yesterday?
No, it was written 100 years after his death. So basically,
you're thinking it was compiled.
This is,
but it was all written down in places. You realize that, right?
Look.
Hold on. Ooh, I just burped. That cookie was not good for me.
No, what I'm saying is that...
We have to wrap up soon.
I know, we have to wrap up. I didn't think we were going to be doing this fucking shit
because
so
Mike
long.
Always likes to argue. This is, see, as soon as it said
argue.
Bacon versus Islam.
This is not arguing.
I knew I had to come here.
This is not arguing.
I know, we're not arguing.
We're not arguing.
We're having a discussion. These are two friends arguing about yerba mate and discussing their views on religion.
So this is what I understand about the hadith. I'll even do some more research about this. But the last time I looked it up.
And now I got to go do research when I get home.
The last time I looked it up, this is how the hadith happened. Okay.
Okay.
After the Prophet Muhammad died, the Muslims went to war.
Yeah. They're still human.
For about a good 100 years.
I don't know how many years.
The Sunnis and the Shias fought. So Muhammad dies.
Mm-hmm.
There goes peace. They all start fucking fighting each other because the Sunnis believe that the person that should be leading after Prophet Muhammad dies should be the caliphate, the one that everyone voted in. And the Shias believe, it should be the guy that he loves the most, his son-in-law, the guy who's married to his daughter, right? Imam Ali. So they split. They have a war over something so stupid. And then after the dust settles, once they start realizing, all right, man, we're done killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to being Muslims. And then they're like, this shit don't make sense.
Wait, and then they're like, what?
We need to figure out how to understand and read this. This is very cryptic. It's poetic. It's, what is he saying? What does it mean, beat? What does it mean, this? What does it mean, that? And then that's when they started compiling the hadiths. They started compiling the hadiths 100 years
compiling,
after.
Compiling, when you say compiling, that's good to note, though, because if I compile something, that means it's already written. They're just putting it all together. That's compile, not writing.
And I used the wrong word.
You used the correct word. Whatever it was, but the point is, you know who made you use the correct word? God. Go ahead. Good night, everybody. God was like, I'm gonna show Mike. I'm sorry.
You think God gives a shit about us?
Yes.
Do you really think?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You really think?
Yes, Mike. Yes.
Out of this entire freaking universe.
Yeah, exactly. You're putting God in a box.
He's the one that's sitting there going, ooh, these guys.
I don't put God in a box, bro. I don't do that.
You put your dick in a box.
No. What are you talking about? I don't know why I had to answer that question just now. That was, no, of course not. That doesn't make any sense.
From what I understand, the hadith was written after they fought. And then they had to put together the hadith.
I gotta make a phone call
to try to
this.
Understand what the Quran was trying to say all along.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing, man.
Okay.
In terms of religion, what for me, it doesn't work for me because I got more questions and answers.
Okay.
It was, you know, written thousands of years ago, and things have been updated. Times have updated, I think, you know, but at the same time, I still feel that, like, there's just good people in this world. And good people will try to use religion to help them and, you know, help them be better. But at the same time,
and bad people will try to use religion to be bad.
But that's why, like, originally, like I was saying, the thing that I can't stand about people who are really into their religions is that they are usually easily programmable. And I think that when I look at people who follow a religion, I could easily see why they would so easily follow a dumb politician and champion that politician like they can do no wrong. And it's the same shit. And it's parallels. I see parallels in religion and how people follow their politics. Even how atheists are. Some people who are atheists are so atheist that they're so religious about being atheists.
Yeah, exactly. But then could I make the argument also, it's just human nature.
Exactly, which is why the hadith doesn't belong here.
That's the
We should only be listening to the book that everyone says God wrote.
That is not.
I think it's blasphemous to be like, God, the book ain't good enough.
No, again, stop saying that.
That's what it seems like.
I don't know how to. I really don't have a comeback because that just sounds so wrong.
If I was an alien that came down here.
The only comeback I have for that is, Mike, you're wrong.
If I was an alien and I came down here and you'd have been like, look, man, this is the book that we follow.
Okay.
It was written by God.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, you have a God and they wrote you that book to follow? And you'd be like, yes. And you'd be like, what's all this shit here? Those are the hadith.
Supplemental text.
What is that? Oh, that's other stuff we wrote to try to make sense of what this is.
Yes.
And the alien's gonna be like, yo, so your God is like,
No.
Are you sure? Because you're saying God wrote this.
Yes.
God wrote this. You don't need anything else.
I'm not saying, and I never said that.
I'm not saying you're saying that.
Oh, I'm okay.
I'm saying it
you're
as
saying
a whole.
That, as a whole.
Do you know what
as,
I mean?
From it's the just outside like, looking in.
That's how
or from
I
the inside looking in.
I was never raised as a Muslim to ever look at the hadith ever.
Really?
Ever.
Interesting.
I don't know. My mom never taught me the hadith ever.
Okay.
Nothing whatsoever about the hadith ever.
But they prayed.
They prayed.
They prayed because they followed.
But you
saw
phony.
People pray.
You know, my dad intermittently prayed.
But you saw him pray?
Sure.
Did he ever get on the ground?
Yeah.
Then
I used to do that.
You get that from hadith and sunnah. You don't get that from the Quran.
No, he didn't get that from hadith or sunnah.
Where did he get that from?
How I got it from. My dad goes, this is what we do.
Mike, you're not listening.
That's how most people get their religion, bro.
But where
that's how most people get their religion.
But then the
most people get their religion at, from their dumb dad who just goes, "Okay, put your head on the ground. Why do we do that? Because that's what we do. Shut up! I gotta go to work."
And that exactly. And
I don't got time.
And we can make the
argument.
Explain because we
just do it
because immigrant.
We're gonna go to hell
because immigrant fathers. They don't have time to teach. They're trying to make sure
that's
you eat.
Everybody, bro.
They're trying to make sure you eat.
Okay, you know why? Right? Why do women sit in the back of in the mosque when we pray?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I
can
don't,
you guess?
Can I guess?
Guess.
I don't know.
Okay, you know what I was told?
What were you told? Wait, hold on. Were you told? Was this in the Quran, or this is just what you were told?
This is what my dad told me, who taught me Islam.
Okay. Don't tilt your head like
how
that.
How a lot of people get their Islam.
Let's not tilt
how a lot of people
head.
Get their religion.
Let's not
they don't get it from like actually studying it. No, they get it from like, my dad said, this is what we do.
Yes.
Look, we're Sunni, so we pray like this. Dad, why do we do this? I don't know. Just do it.
Okay.
But why? Why do we do this? And my Shia friends have it their hands on the side.
Okay.
I don't know. And I think I know what the answer is. The answer is people are assholes, and we just want to be gangs.
No, because
we want to be
sometimes, sometimes the prophet did this, and sometimes the prophet had his hands on the side.
Yeah, but Shias only do this, and Sunnis only do this.
And that's fine.
No, it's stupid. Listen, it's so stupid. It's so dumb. Anyways, listen. So my dad, I remember one time we went to the mosque, and you know, me and my sister were having fun in the car, and I kind of wanted to hang out with her even more. And then when we get to the mosque, she had to go to the back. You know how it is. Back when I was like in my mom was a hairstylist, right? And she never wore the hijab, okay? And then like, this is what it's like to be a Muslim family to go to the mosque, okay? For prayer, Friday prayer. We go to the mosque. My mom and my sister are dressed like normal people. And then when we get to the mosque, the men have to go to one part of the prayer area and the women have to go in the back. But it's funny because before my mom would go back, they turn into like white ghosts. They put on this white sheet.
I'm not.
So all the women have to dress like Casper, okay? And then they all go to the back. And I remember when they go to the back, I remember going to my dad. I'm like, why? Why she got to go to the back? Why am I, you know, I want my sister to hang out with us. Why they got to go in the back? Then my dad explained to me, he's like, well, Mike, that's because, you know, when we pray in the front, it symbolizes how men will put themselves in front of women. Men will put themselves in front of danger for women. Would you protect your sister? Yeah. Would you protect your mother? Yeah. Well, that's what it is. We put in the women in the back and the men are in the front just to symbolize that the men will be here to put themselves in front of God, in front of the women, in front of whatever. Okay. So in the end, what he was doing was noble. He was teaching me, hey, man, be the caretaker of your sister.
Yeah.
Right? Be a good man.
Yeah.
Right?
Never heard that before, by the way.
We love our women, and we should protect them, and that means sometimes putting yourself in harm's way to protect your sister.
Okay.
Would you do that?
Yes.
Yes. It's a pretty good lesson, right? But actually... actually...
You know the sad part? We could have ended there.
No.
We could have ended there.
Not.
But not Mike Eshak.
No.
Not Eshak,
no,
baby. Let's
because
go.
We have to get to the truth.
What are we doing?
It's called Public Yemeni number one for a reason, bro.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I thought my whole life. That's what it was.
But why couldn't that be it?
Because I found out what it was.
What was it?
And it makes more sense.
Why does it make more sense?
So my dad's explanation.
I have to make so many phone calls.
My dad's explanation.
To double check what you're saying.
My dad's explanation is steeped in, hey, Mike, just so you know, bitches ain't shit.
What?
Women ain't shit.
No.
Steeped in there, yeah. Steeped inside of that, what it really is an egotistical way for my dad to be like, well, because we're here for the women. Oh, man.
It couldn't be.
But that's not what it is. You know what it is?
Yes.
It makes way more sense, bro.
Okay, so first it was this, and then you thought it was an ego, and it's neither.
Oh, no. The whole thing is ego.
Okay.
The whole thing, even though my dad was teaching me a good lesson to protect my sister and to protect women, not to hit them, and that we would put ourselves in harm's way.
Yes.
In that is a male ego-driven type of drum that we're hitting, and that is, we are better than women. We are better than women. That's really what it is if you really break it down. Now, hear me out, because if you really know what it is,
okay,
it's so simple.
What is it?
The women pray in the back because the Prophet Muhammad knows no woman's going to feel comfortable bending over in front of a man.
That's it?
Simple. The way you said that. So simple.
The way you... The
answer, the real answer, if my dad gave me that answer,
the face.
If my dad gave me that answer, okay. I would have less of a, I'm better than women and I'm here to protect them, and I would have more of an understanding of women.
But no one said...
I would have a more understanding of women. The real thing is, guys, men are creepy.
We are not ending our men are creepy.
If a woman has got her butt in front of you and she's bent over, are you going to be thinking of God or are you going to be thinking of this woman's nice butt? And that woman, is she going to be thinking of God if she knows that some guy behind her is...
looking at her butt.
Or sniffing or whatever creepy shit men do?
Uh-huh.
Put the men in the front.
Who's sniffing?
You know guys that be sniffing underwear. You know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Of course you don't know that because you're Muslim.
I'm a good person. No, because I'm a good, or I'm just a good person.
How does it make you a good person or a bad person if you like the smell of panties?
Lots of people don't.
What's wrong with the smell of panties?
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't do that.
You know what? That's fair.
But if somebody gets turned on by the smell of panties,
that's them.
So long as it's consent panties, not like you're smelling.
Yeah.
Because there was a guy in my platoon who used to sneak into women's rooms and he would steal their panties.
Oh.
He was a weirdo.
Yes.
That's different.
But he wouldn't touch them. You just take their panties?
Because no one wants to touch him. He was ugly.
Okay.
But anyways, my point is that that's the thing that I start seeing in religion is where a lot of people will just explain to their people what they think their religion is.
Okay.
And no one really fucking knows. And then when you really find out, I remember when I found out what it really was.
Okay.
It made it more simple. It made more sense. It was logical.
Okay.
It's way more logical than we're here to protect the women.
But when for you did it start being, I'm not going to seek what the logical stuff is. I'm just going to say all religion is bad.
Just from seeing people.
It was people.
Constantly. What? How else are you able to see the effects of religion if it's not people?
Don't look at it from people. And you can make the argument that a lot of times people aren't... No one hates religion. They hate the people that claim to be of the religion that they're hating. Because I don't hate Islam because I was just raised in a household where we were like, you have to be a good person. We valued character.
I don't think all Muslims or all people who have religions are
bad. You don't think that's bad?
No. I don't think everyone's following their religion like they're supposed to.
Mm.
I think that the way you follow Islam, a lot of it comes with how it happens within the bubble that you were growing up in. And I think that our parents take their morals and plug and play those into the Islam thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But that's
kind of like how my dad was like, oh, I'm going to use the story about the women in the back, how my dad did it. My dad told me, you don't hit women.
Yes.
You protect women.
Yes.
That's why we go in the front. Now, listen, in that was a good lesson.
Yeah.
But that's not what it was.
We don't know.
What it really is that, and honestly, if I was to have a kid right now, and I was Muslim, and then we had to go to the thing, and his sister had to go in the back,
yeah,
he'd be like, "Dad, why did my sister have to go in the back?
Because you creepy.
Come here, son. You creepy.
Yeah.
You not yet, but once your balls drop,
yeah,
you gonna be a creeper. Like,
Papa, why do we have to go? You know how kids talk. They don't know how to finish a sentence.
Exactly.
Like, Papa, why do we have to go? I wanna play with Khadija. And then he's like, listen, son.
You hit him.
There's no. You have to hit him. You have to.
You have to knock him out of the fucking.
You
thing.
Hit him first, and then you.
And that's
sit
why
him
he talks like that. Hi. Why are you talking like that?
I have brain damage because the social worker said I have PTSD. I don't know what it is.
This is where it is. This is where it comes from.
Why are we like this? Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
In the end, I'm just saying that, like, individually, on a micro level, you can see a lot of religion doing very good things.
Yes.
On a micro level.
Yes.
When you pull back on a macro level, it's a different picture.
I disagree. I think a lot of bad happens in the name of religion, but a lot of good happens because of religion.
I think a lot of good happens because of good humans, not religion.
There's so many organizations that are just religious-based organizations.
And there's so many people who are not religious that do really good things.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's 50-50 then.
It's just humans.
Then good things happen and bad things happen simply because of humans, and religion has nothing to do with it.
No, religion exacerbates those things.
Exacerbates both things? Can exacerbate good and bad?
Absolutely. I'm not saying that religion does not.
I see what
you're a prime example of it. You're a good Muslim, man, because you're also just a good person.
I try to be a good person. I happen to be
you
Muslim.
You are a good person. Yes. And I think that your religion, you enjoy your religion because your religion helps solidify that.
Yes.
You know, and you use it that way. So yes. It gives you an incentive even more to be good.
Yes.
And be charitable and to help people, which is what you are. You know, you're very good. You're very void of ego. We all have ego to some degree, but you're definitely someone who's got that in check. And I know Muslims like you, where you walk around. See, the reason you're the type of Muslim that makes me go, it's not fair for me to call myself Muslim.
But you can.
But I can't. I don't think so. Because to me, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it 100%.
That's fair. But
that's why I don't consider myself, because I eat bacon. I have premarital sex. I drink. I do drugs.
Okay.
I don't pray 5 times a day. But I don't do Ramadan. I mean, I used to. But then
and we can end on this. What you can make the argument, what makes you Muslim? The one thing, just saying, hey, I'm Muslim. Really? Just saying, I believe in God, and I believe that the Prophet is his last messenger. It's a sentence that makes you Muslim.
I know. Right? I don't think that's enough.
Now, are you...
That's Muslim light.
But then there's a story, and you've probably heard this story before. There's a story of like the prostitute...
Low-carb Muslim.
...that like fed the dog, and that prostitute got into heaven just from feeding the dog. She was still a prostitute, bro.
Prostitution is a very noble...
No, it's a shot...
Job,
Mike,
man.
Shut the fuck up right now. Shut up.
I think we should have.
I like how you keep glancing. Do not look at them. Don't look at them right now. That's not the point.
Listen, I think the prostitution.
No. I get. No. We're not having pros and cons.
What's the difference between me having sex with a prostitute and then instead. Okay, so if I have to have sex with a hot girl here in LA, I got to take her to Hyde. Okay. I got to get her bottle service. Okay. I got to take her to dinner. I got to take her out.
Right.
I'll spend like $1,000 on just taking this girl out. And then finally I can have sex with her only to find out that she's really bad at giving blowjobs because she's too pretty and never had to work at anything in her life. What's the difference between that or I pay $300 to a prostitute, I have sex with her, I spend less time, less money, and I can go on with my day?
Listen, Mike, the cost-benefit analysis of prostitution is not my forte. I don't know. All I'm saying is if you're saying, in my opinion, from my understanding, there is no such thing as good or bad Muslim because we... cannot judge our religiosity. Only God can judge our religiosity.
I feel that when people ask me if I'm Muslim, I say yes to people who are not Muslim, just to give them sort of a cultural compass of where I came from, right?
Okay.
So when people say, are you Muslim? Yeah, I'm Muslim. I want to let them know this is the culture that I grew up in.
Yes.
This is my family.
Okay.
This was my upbringing.
Yeah, sure. Understandable.
But disclaimer, I don't practice shit. And I'm also the type of person, I never called myself a comedian until 2017 when I actually started hitting the ground running hard.
Okay.
Putting all my chips into it. I started earlier than that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count to me.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at religion. I think it's disrespectful to the religion for me to call myself a Muslim and I'm doing the bare minimum.
But I do the bare minimum.
No, you don't, bro.
Well, also, it's
the one podcast, you know, our first podcast, my first podcast, it comes on, and then I call you a good Muslim. You say you're not a good Muslim. And in the podcast, I'm like, you just prayed before we did the podcast.
I did just pray. You prayed. I'm not going to confession time. I was late because I remembered, oh, I didn't pray yet.
So and
I
you prayed.
To pray, and then and that's why I was late to come here today. My bad.
Guys, this is Kazeem Rahman. Give him a fucking.
Follow me online, Kazeem Comedy. But just
for being one of the best Muslims I know.
Just to circle back, if you are a Muslim, you just don't do everything that a Muslim is supposed to do. But that doesn't mean you're a man. You're not doing everything that quote. Well, that's a horrible example. You already know I don't know how to talk, but you know what I mean. You're just not doing everything that Muslims do.
Yeah, man.
Still Muslim. He's just waiting for you to come home, Mike.
I mean, listen, right? Man.
Start with turkey
bacon. To be Muslim.
Start with turkey bacon.
I would have to.
Start with turkey bacon.
I've already told you, bro.
Start with turkey
bacon. If bacon is pussy.
Start with turkey.
Turkey bacon is a pocket pussy.
Bacon. You can season. Well, turkey bacon's fully cooked. You can eat turkey bacon out the bag, bro. If you really want to. Just saying.
You could try bacon and understand how you've been lied to your whole life. Just
no,
saying.
No, I'm good. I'm good on that.
You've had bacon before. Every Muslim says they had it on accident. It's always on accident.
It is always on accident.
See, I don't say I'm on accident. I actually have some right now. I'm about to cook it up.
Well, I'll be gone.
Is it a sin to smell it while
it's
being cooked?
No, it's not a sin to smell it. It's not a sin to smell it.
Remember the last podcast we were talking about, in the first podcast, if you wiped your ass with bacon and you were like, no, that's okay, that's halal. And then I had to teach you that like your butt actually absorbs whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn. That's on YouTube right now? We're so good. Oh, man, I really hope I don't get famous too soon.
All right, give everybody how they follow you, what you're up to.
Kazeem Comedy, K-A-Z-E-E-M Comedy on all social media platforms. I have a podcast, Tough Choice, with Kazeem Rahman. It is all on wherever you get your podcast, follow it. We have videos on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And we're doing some things on TikTok and Instagram Reels. And we're going to be doing live shows soon. And we'll get you on that also. And yeah. Follow me, guys. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Kazeem Comedy, he's the man. Definitely follow him. His podcast is fun. I've been on it a lot. We have a lot of fun. If you liked how we fucking are, you should see me on his podcast. It's a good time. And as for me, next week I'll be in Detroit helping my mom move and stuff. So I'll be broadcasting from there. I'm gonna again try Wednesdays 2 p.m. Today I did it early because I'll be traveling tomorrow. Just wanted to say thank you guys. I don't hate Muslims.
No,
don't come after me, please.
You don't hate anyone. You have questions.
My podcast is called Public Yemeni for a reason because I really like to get in the weeds and suss out the bullshit of stuff. And that's my entire life. That's why I don't consider myself in anything. Because every time I did consider myself a Democrat, I looked into it. I'm like, wait, this is fucking shitty too. So that's what I am all about. So don't take any offense to this. Somebody's going to come murder me.
We got to apologize every time I'm on this episode. Every time my podcast, we both have to just do, listen, man, we don't know anything.
We don't know shit.
We're just people trying to go on this world.
Yeah.
Trying to be good people, trying to take care of our families.
Yeah. I don't have a family yet. He's about to have a family. Yeah, all right, guys. Mike from Detroit.com. Follow me. I'll see you guys. And I hope maybe I'll see you guys on a real show, one of these shows. So thank you, guys. Till next time.
All right.
Public Yemeni number one.